Segos, Swapwick, Gayanuli, Yungas, Oneyotiag. I'm from the Oneida Nation, people of the Standing Stone. Our original homelands are from New York, Central New York, and I'm from Wisconsin. We migrated in the 1830s, and when we went to Wisconsin, we were already Christian, and so we're trying to revitalize the language. We started very strongly in the 70s, but there's been other historical movements that I won't go into at this point. I want to share with you my dissertation. I wanted to begin with an elder. In 1997, the Oneida Nation was looking at restructuring, and I was working as an internal consultant for our nation. And they sent us out to do interviews, and we had to interview an elder. And I went to see this elder. She was about 90 years old at the time. And when I interviewed her, I was supposed to take her what our project team had defined as a problem, and with our proposed solution. It was our first iteration. We had to take it out to the community and get feedback. And this woman set the track for me for the last almost 10 years now. And when we sat down to talk, I came in and I was going to show her my work, and she said, "Put your papers down, put your pencil down, and just listen to me. I'm going to tell you what the problem is here." And she said a lot of things that day, and she goes, "Where's that little tape recorder you guys usually bring?" And I didn't think she would let me record her, so I didn't have one. And she goes, "Well, you just do the best you can. I want you to come back and tell me, you know, what I told you." And one of the highlights that stood out to me is she outlined some of the problems with our community. The problem was, she said, was a clash of cultural values. When they left our community, the people became more about independence, and they lost the importance of community. In effect, this devalued the importance of the following, and she identified like researching the Oneida culture and history, open communication, listening, alternative problem solving methods, and giving back. Her solution, this is what she said to me, a direct quote, because I had a tape recorder at this point. took two interviews, by the way. "I think that if we all talked Indian, I know it'll never happen again. We'd be more reliable because we would know what we were talking about." When I took this back to our project team, we had this this consultant that had come in, and he processed us, and we focused on this particular elder's input, and he said, "Well, you can't bring back a language if people don't know what's in it for them." And so from that point on, I always thought, well, you know, my community doesn't understand the importance, and, you know, how are we going to communicate this? So for years, I thought about that. So when I went in to do my PhD, that's what I pondered. So that's the origins of my dissertation. My dissertation was a phenomenological qualitative study, meaning the perceptions of people, you know, of looking back at someone's perception. And the purpose was to explore the impact of Oneida language learning and what it had on the preservation of the Oneida culture. It was designed for the Oneida Nation High School graduates of Oneida, Wisconsin. We have a tribal school. When we first started our tribal school, I believe it was in the 80s or late 70s. It was a community program. It didn't have a lot of funding, but it was in order to revitalize our language and culture. And as time went on, we became a BIA school where we were funded and, you know, curved by certain. My target population was 7 to 10 graduates between the ages of 18 to 21. And my initial desire of research, when I was looking at the kind of research I wanted to do, my mentors, my teachers while I was working my PhD, really pushed me to do a quantitative study. They wanted like a survey, they wanted numbers, and they really pushed me for that. These are what I had in my mind, and I wanted a method that would identify and share the benefits that emerged from Oneida people learning their indigenous language. I wanted something that was compatible with Indigenous people, in a method that empowered Indigenous people at a community level, and a strong interest, and I had a strong interest in participatory action research. My father used to read to me Paulo Freire's work. I don't know if any of you heard of who Paulo Freire, but he was one of the people that was really instrumental in participatory action research. And I wanted a creative methodology that would capture the interests of adolescents and young adults. My reasoning was behind that was that we needed our young adults to have that interest, investment, and buy-in in keeping our language, because they were the childbearing, and you know all the research is saying, you know, you have to have babies speaking the language. My research questions, my overall question was, what are the impacts of the Oneida language learning on the preservation of the Oneida culture? And I had sub-questions. What values emerged for Oneida Nation high school graduates of year A and B, I took 2 years, from learning the Oneida language? What benefits emerged, back to the elder, for Oneida Nation high school graduates from the same years? And what motivated the Oneida Nation high school graduates of year A and B to learn the Oneida language? My proposed methodologies of the study were a little bit too great. Phase one, I had to do general informational meetings to the community because I wanted it to be unbiased. I didn't want to, you know, favor anyone. And phase two was face-to-face interviews. And phase three was photo voice training. And I'll get into more of that, and photo gathering. And phase four was focus groups where they would process what photos that they had gathered. And five was the participatory action research component, where the co-researchers, the students or the graduates, would do the planning and implementation of how to share the findings of the study with the community and the policymakers. Again, going back to the benefits. Note, I have two little stars. I got as far as phase three before I lost my population. I now know why it's so difficult to find studies on this population from 18 to 21. They all go all different places they're traveling. So, but I still got some real good information. I want to go back. My community meetings, I had one participant come and volunteer for the study to be a co-researcher. So I had to go to a second process where I went to three language and culture teachers, and each of them selected six of the top two graduates in their classes. You know, they've reflected back to all the years that they had and who they thought were really good language, you know, Oneida language learners. And then I took the two classes and I tallied up and I came up with the top Oneida language learners of the classes. And then I pursued each one. I ended up, I believe, with nine. My results, to cut the story, I mean, get to the end here. I had five main emergent themes of the data. I just want to share one insight. When we were planning, I worked side by side with our Bear Clan Oneida chief. And so when we were planning, doing for this dissertation, he said, you should see how many of them know the principles of our Great Law of Peace, because that's a founding of the Iroquois or Haudenosaunee, or in my language, it's Haudenosaunee Confederacy. And when I got all the way to this part where I was looking at the results, I said, I never tallied that. And I had wished I had. And so I share that for, and you'll see what happens. My main emergent themes of the data that I came up with was the Oneida language, Oneida longhouse culture. We're the longhouse people, so the culture was evident in everything. Identity, ethnic identity, positive self-concept, and family. Those three middle ones, it stumped me for like months. I was stuck at, is it identity? Is it ethnic identity? Is it a positive self-concept? And I kept going back and forth, and I couldn't, every time I looked out at the research, I couldn't decide which one it was. And from the interview data, as well as from the photos that were gathered. I'm going to come back to that. What are the impacts? When I asked them the question, what are the impacts of Oneida language learning on the preservation of the Oneida culture? They came up with an increased understanding of the reasons why Oneida language and culture are important. Many students don't even realize why it's important. I thought that was profound to me, because I forget that they don't even understand that. An increased understanding of the oral history of how Oneidas came to be, the importance of always giving thanks, and the importance of why the Oneida language and culture are important for future generations, and a realization that the Oneida culture would die without passing the Oneida language and culture on to future generations. And that's things that I think as an older population, we know that, but these were young adults who were saying this and what they, you know, what they gathered. Some of the values that they identified, they valued being Oneida. That was beautiful to see. They valued their language and culture and history and how history defines the identity of Oneida. The responsibilities of families to learn and pass the language on. There were two of my graduates who had already started their family. One had three children, one had one. And so they started to realize how important what they were learning really was. The importance of same gender role models for teaching roles and responsibilities, and respect for the Oneida language and those who speak it, and giving thanks for all of creation. The benefits, this is what we came up with, is they got to attend longhouse ceremonies. There were only two of the students who had families that were from the longhouse, and if they didn't have a school that took them to ceremony, they would never have had that experience. Understanding and learning the Oneida language and culture can open one's mind, increase cognitive flexibility. Increased positive ethnic identity was experienced through the ability to role model their knowledge of Oneida culture amongst peers and community, and it brought their family closer together. Their motivation, learning the language, understanding the Oneida longhouse ceremonies, understanding why the language is important, the good feeling that emerged. And I'm going to come back to this good feeling. The photo voice question, when I sent them out with the cameras, I asked them a question. I said, what have you experienced as a result of learning the Oneida language while attending the Oneida Nation High School? This was their comment. Our longhouse ways, along with our Oneida language. If you take note, every single one of our pictures will represent our Oneida longhouse culture. That's our longhouse. I've learned about the culture and all the different symbols represented and the stories behind them. Gustowies are not only a symbol of our tribe, two feathers up, one down, but also can be a symbol of leadership, chiefs. Growing up, my family always tapped maple trees in the spring, but I didn't know why until I learned what happened in ceremonies. I should have slowed down on that one. When I looked at that picture, he goes, do you know what that's a picture of? And I hadn't really looked. And if I didn't know his yard, I wouldn't have known to answer that that was a maple tree. Learning songs that have been passed down through the generations and generations. Sorry, I'm too fast. I've learned many songs and when and why they are sung. We use turtle rattle for our most sacred songs, and these are their cow shell rattles. Oneida song and dance. Again, we have three pictures on that. They put a lot of emphasis on that. The many plants that are our medicines. They took a picture of herbs. And tobacco comes from Sky Woman and is used for communicating with the Creator. The tobacco, our original tobacco, is on the bottom beneath the sunflowers there. Knowing what first place feels like, there's no feeling like speaking the language of our people, knowing and sharing. This really intrigued me that they talked about the feeling. Again, Oneyotiaga, people of the standing stone, a sense of pride, knowing my history so I can have a sense of what is in store for my future. And Gunalunkwatsla, a word to describe a deeper love for things that even English can't provide. This is their yearbook and has the words written in there in Oneida, Gunalunkwatsla. The white tree of peace represents a feeling that can't really be explained because it's something that can only be experienced personally. How many more minutes do I have?
Oh, you're fine.
Okay. Conclusions. This is what I came up with. And this is where Bob Brown, our Bear Clan chief, I was like, after 6 months, after looking at the pictures and being pondering that self-esteem, our self-concept identity and ethnic identity, I saw it. And it was like, duh, it's sitting right there. The results appear to indicate that a positive cultural reverse may occur as students learn their native language and Oneida culture at the Oneida Nation High School. Good feelings presented in the data as identity, ethnic identity, self-esteem, self-concept. My emergent formula was that Oneida language plus Oneida culture equals the good feeling. I mean, we pay a lot of money in medication throughout our country, legal and not legal. A number of students believe that learning the language isn't going to help at all, and I think that some of the students don't want to learn the language at all. This is what one of our graduates said. And I looked at brainwashed Native Americans. Native Americans no longer have policy prohibiting them from speaking their language, yet through brainwash efforts of English-only policy, Native Americans have become their own worst enemies. I found that quote by Cross in my research, and then Friera had to have that internalized oppression, when the oppressed no longer need an oppressor because they have bought into the oppressive beliefs, thus becoming their own oppressors. I believe we could do a reverse shift by doing our indigenous language learning here at Oneida. Walters identified identity as an internalization of a feeling. And could the Oneida language learning be used as a catalyst to alter native internalization of a feeling to a positive internalization? Takes me right back to the Great Law of Peace. And so I came up with this chart, and I have the principles, our founding principles that the peacemaker brought with the Great Law of Peace was the good words, peace of mind, and power. That's Gatnigulio, Okale, Gatnigulio, Galiwio, and Gutsastunsla, out of order, but the right words. And I thought the good words, that he wanted us to treat everyone like family, because then we would be good and we would be respectful. Peace of mind, belonging and relationship, identity, ethnic identity, feeling good about ourselves, and power, having that personal power, how we see ourselves, positive self-concept. So I thought they were, so everything that Bob Brown had talked about was there. I'm going to stop there. The future is, I think it's a benchmark for future studies highlighting native language and cultural preservation, maintenance, and revitalization with Oneida adolescents. It's instrumental in educating and encouraging various groups within the community of the importance of indigenous language learning that has to happen in our communities. So many people don't understand. A model that would help increase buy-in in indigenous language preservations within indigenous communities. Supportive research of effective methods and resources necessary for cultural maintenance, preservation, and revitalization of indigenous languages. And my references. Thank you very much for letting me be here today.